But today I want to just begin or finish this series on The Biggest Loser. And today we're going to talk about losing the weight of guilt. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 1 and just part of verse 4. The first part of verse 4 says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt." Notice how he puts it, loaded with guilt. Guilt is a weight that you can carry around in your life and it can bring devastating effects. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt. The psalmist said this in Psalm 38. Turn over there if you would. Psalm 38 in verse 4. The Bible says this, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." How many of you from time to time have felt guilty? Come on, everybody feels guilty from time to time. We feel guilty over the smallest things. I remember being a new father, the first time I became a dad. To this day, we still discuss it. So let me just throw it out there. I hadn't had a baby in the house before. I didn't know what it was like to be a dad. And of course, my wife had been there, basically 24 hours a day. And so one afternoon, she said, "I got to get out of the house." I said, "Fine, go ahead. I'll be here. I'll take care of Jamie." She was just an infant. Just a little baby. "I'll take care of Jamie." And, I'm there with her, and my wife is out for a while. And then she was out for, not 10 minutes, but a couple of hours or so. But during that whole time, I forgot to change Jamie's pamper. And I didn't think too much of it, and it's a little bit later on, a few hours later, change your pamper. Notice, a little bit of redness, rash. I said, "No, that's not rash." And her mother came over. "Oh, she has diaper rash, something fierce. It's terrible. No wonder the child's crying. She can't, there's no relief." And sure enough, I had given my daughter diaper rash because I didn't change her enough. And the guilt settled in. I was the one that made that happen. There are times in your life where maybe it's related to something that you did or didn't do for your child. And, the older they get, they begin to learn how to make you feel guilty, right? They know exactly what buttons to push. They know exactly what to say to make you think that, shame on you for doing what you did, saying what you said, or not doing something that I wanted you to do. And the guilt just comes over you. It's terrible. But, there are people who are loaded, and I'm not talking about that kind of guilt necessarily today, though at times those things can so invade your life that it distracts you from what it is that God wants you to do as a believer. But we find in Scripture anytime we read about the idea of guilt, it is likened to a weight. And not only that, the times where guilt, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but you got to know this, because any time that the Bible mentions the word guilt or suggests the idea that we are guilty, there is always a solution and always a way out from under that guilt. That is that it is a burden and a weight that you no longer have to carry. You don't have to carry around this weight of guilt. Guilt is one of the most common feelings that people have. Great deal of time is spent trying to figure out how to come out from under the heavy load and that weight of guilt that we often feel. How can I break free? How can I have peace? How can I really break free? The enemy is very, very good at throwing up our past in our face. He's very good at coming along and saying, "But you're trying to serve the Lord, but you remember how rotten you were? You remember how sinful you were? Do you really think that God really is going to love you, that he really forgives you. Oh, I bet God, you know, he forgives you, but he's not going to forget about it. And we begin to think that God is like us. Because quite honestly, we remember what we did a long time ago. We remember what other people did to us a long time ago. And many times the enemy plays on that and puts a weight of guilt upon our shoulders to carry. Sometimes it comes because of a willful choice of what it is that is known to be wrong. Sometimes it overwhelms us in our unwitting failures. We fail at something and we feel so guilty about that failure. Either way, to feel guilt is absolute pure agony. When you feel guilty about something, it can keep you awake half the night. When you feel guilty, it can just somehow destroy the any kind of peace that you might have in your life. Feelings of guilt are so common in our society. Sometimes the feelings are rooted in specific acts. Maybe a spouse is unfaithful, and it just destroys the marriage. Or at the very least, it brings about a distrust or mistrust in the marriage. It could be that a mother neglects a young child who is later injured, or even worse, dies as a result of it. Turn your head for a moment and the child is gone. Something bad happens. The guilt is overwhelming. A teenager lies to his parents about where he's going. And then later on, when he thinks he's gotten away with it, all of a sudden there's this thing that starts happening in his head. Something begins to go on. It's, you know, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I didn't get as much pleasure out of this thing as what I thought I would. And, you know, my parents, they're trusting me. But now all of a sudden something's happened on the inside. It's guilt. Businessman cheats on a government contract just to somehow get ahead. There's this guilt that it becomes a part of our lives. If there is anything that is made plain in Scripture, it is three things today. And I want you to see what these are. First of all, the first one is this that is made plain. And it is this, that guilt is not just a feeling. It is a position. Guilt is not just a... We associate guilt with feelings. Oh, I feel guilty. And yet when the Bible talks about guilt and it talks about mankind in the light of who God is, it shows that guilt is not just a feeling, it is now a state that you're in. That is, that all mankind, as a result of Adam and Eve and what it is that they did, are now in a position of being condemned and under the guilt of sin. The Bible tells us this. I want you to turn there. Why don't we just go there to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to see what the Bible says here today. I just want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says this, starting down at verse 8. This is after Adam and Eve had sinned. Something happened in their hearts, in their minds in that moment. Actually, let's back up. Let's back up a little bit to verse 6. The Bible says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now notice this. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Look at verse 8, though. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That verse of Scripture to me shows and proves the absolute mercy of God is greater than the judgment of God in every situation. God didn't have to come down. Remember, at that moment, there were still just two people. Two. He could have just said, Adam and Eve, you so badly messed up, forget you. Done. Let's start over. Let me fashion somebody else out of the dust of the ground. Let's see if we can, you can, you know, mankind and humankind can get it right. But no, he gave them a will, but with that will, God says, all right, I'm going to work with that will. I'm going to still come down. The mercy of God is when you are still wretched in your sin, when you are still under the guilt of your sin, and now all of a sudden you realize your condition is actually now no longer good, and you've got to do something about it. Now what? Here's what God does. He doesn't stay away. He comes down. Let's continue to read. The Bible says he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Notice what they did. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man, where are you? Now, God knew exactly where they were because God is all-knowing. We know that. Scripture reveals that. But he wanted man to confess what was going on. The Bible says this. He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Notice those words, so I hid. Guilt is such a devastating thing in people's lives that it can cause you to run and hide from God. It's an amazing thing that people give in to sin and the first thing to go is their decision to go to church. Oh, I got to stay home today. Why? Because there's guilt on the inside. I don't want to go to church because I haven't been faithful to the Lord this week. I maybe gave in to some temptation and gave in to some sin. And so now I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to go and be there because that's not the place for a sinner. I got to tell you something. This is the place for a sinner. This is a place for the guilty. Because all of us, brothers and sisters, can stand here and say that we are guilty before the Lord. All of us, because we are cut from the same cloth. We are made of flesh, and we are flesh. We are guilty before God. You've got to know that you are guilty today. There isn't anybody who can sit here and say, oh, no, not me. I'm a good person. We're going to get to that in just a few moments. But Adam and Eve, the Bible says that they hid. They removed themselves from openness with God. This is why it's important, I believe, say, well, Pastor, it's your job to call people and find out where they are. Like I said earlier, sometimes I call people, they don't want to talk to me, oddly enough. Some do, but not everybody does. You've got a friend, you've got somebody that you sit next to in church and you notice they're not here for 2 or 3 weeks. Listen, if they're your friend, you call them. You're close to them. You can talk to them and you can encourage them. Find out where they've been, what's going on, what's happening. Is there something we can help you with? Something we can pray for you about? Is there something that we can do? And you know what? If they begin to open up, say, oh, don't back away. Oh, it's too heavy for me. I don't know what to say. Maybe you better call pastor. No. You know what? We got the Word of God. We got Scripture. We've got the Holy Spirit on the inside. God wants to use you to reach out to them and say, you know what? God's got better things in store. You can be an encouragement to them. When they're running and they're hiding, it is the mercy of God that goes and gets them. Amen? I know. Thank you. It gets a little silent every now and then when all of a sudden we begin to start thinking we've got a hand in all of this. You know, that it's not just all Pastor Lawrence. He's got to, you know, I'm getting forgetful in my old age. I got to tell you that. I'm not making excuses. I just am. I told my wife this morning, I said, I'm forgetting everything. Lately, I'm just forgetting everything. And it's just old age, right? I mean, look at me. I'm just wasting it. No, I'm just kidding. But the Bible says here that they hid. That is the response to the feeling of guilt. But you need to know that now it is a position, because a little bit later on, we're not going to take the time to read what God then says when he curses the ground, when he curses the woman, when he curses the serpent. We're not going to read all of that. But the Bible indicates that now mankind, as a result of that sin, and this has been the problem, it's the problem that is dealt with all the way through Scripture, is how to deal with the sin problem. And God always has a response. And you know what God actually said? And his response was, His response was simply this. Oh, let me just read this, shall we? The Bible says this. It says, starting in verse 17, to Adam, he said, because you have listened to your wife and ate from the tree of about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Though through painful toil, you will eat it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food, and until you return to the dust of the ground. Since from it you were taken, to the dust you are, and to the dust you will return. All of this is as a result of giving into sin. This is now the pronouncement of guilt. This is the pronouncement of guilt upon mankind. It is a position, folks. It is not a feeling. It is some kind of position that all mankind stands under, and that is the state or the position of guilt. But I got to show you here how God deals with this as it relates to the serpent. The Bible says this. So the Lord God, up in verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock, all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. Now he's not talking about a real snake here. He's talking about the devil. And the offspring of the enemy and the offspring of this woman who is in the line or would be the mother of mankind and eventually the line of Christ. And here it is. He, that is the offspring of the woman, Jesus, will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now, who comes out on the winning side here? The one who crushes the head. He's going to strike at the heel. Yes, the cross is the devil's strike at Jesus' heel. But in the end, the victory of the resurrection is, in fact, the victory in which he crushed the head of the enemy. Brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, when there is a state of guilt written about in Scripture, when there is a position of guilt, God always has a way out from underneath that weight, and it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He cleanses you of sin. You don't have to run after the nonsense of the world. You don't have to find some way to figure out how it is that you're going to make it, but instead you can come to the cross, and he can take the burden of the guilt of your past and of the pain of your sin and relieve you from it and rip it from your shoulders so you don't have to be weighed down by it anymore. Guilt is not just a feeling, it is a position. As sinners, we stand in the place of guilt before him. The Bible says there is none righteous, not one. There is absolutely no one who is righteous. Say, come on, Pastor, let's think about this. There are a lot of good people in the world, are there? Oh, we look around us, oh, we see sinful people. Say, but that's offensive. Don't want to go that route with anybody. You know, that's just that. You know, they're not going to like me. They're not going to smile at me. They're not going to want to be around me at work anymore. I realize that. I understand that. But Jesus did not come to be popular. He came to forgive. He came to give new life. He came to give eternal life. He didn't come so that you could be the most popular person at your job or in your school or anywhere else. He came to bring life to you. And to those that are around you. Now, the second thing that we have to understand about guilt, and it is this, that man cannot provide the right solution for his guilt. Guilt is, in fact, not a feeling. It is a position, a state. So what do we do about that? Well, man has all kinds of approaches for it. This is what man tries to do. There are a few things that he tries to do. He takes different approaches to try to fix the problem. First, the first thing that man will try to do is he'll try to deny it. You know, we our feelings of guilt, we say, come from the hang-ups of society that society imposes. So we insist that everyone has the right to do their own thing. How many of you have ever heard that before? I can do what I want to do. Free country? Well, you can. In this country, for the most part, you can do whatever you want to do. But do remember this, that one day you will stand before God. there will be a God in heaven who you will have to answer to. There will be somebody that you're going to have to give an account to. And you need to know today, you will have to account for what it is that you do and you say. You will have to stand before God. You can't sit there and say, but, you know, I was a good person. And you know what? Besides, there are no, you know, there's no real truth. There's no moral absolutes. There is nothing like that. We don't have to worry about that. We're just going to do our own thing and everything is going to be okay. You can say that, but I got to tell you, it's not going to remove the guilt. It's still going to be there at the end of the day. Another thing we try to do is we try to explain it away. We look back into our childhood and we find excuses as to why we can't help ourselves. We made bad choices because we had to. And we deny any personal responsibility. And that's really the popular way to attempt to rid ourselves of the guilt. I'm not responsible for what I do. It's everybody else's fault. Remember what Adam and Eve did? You know, the very first thing that Eve did? Or Adam, when God spoke to him, well, the woman gave this to me. It's her fault. And Eve said, but the serpent, it's his fault. You know what? In the end, the blame game didn't work with God because every one of them came under the judgment of God. Every one of them were under guilt. And so, you know what, brothers and sisters, it doesn't work to try to explain it away and blame it on other people. Well, I made the choices that I made because you don't know the situation that I was in and all that I have been through. I'm here to let you know the blood of Jesus can wipe you clean. He can wash you clean. You don't have to explain anything away. What needs to happen is we come under the blood and say, Jesus, remove my guilt, and he'll remove your guilt. Another thing that we try to do is we construct our own system of do's and don'ts. We make up our own religion. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says this. Therefore, no one... Why don't you turn there? Go ahead and turn over there. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans 3 and verse 20. The Bible says this. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Now, Paul is talking about the law that is written in the Old Testament. The Old Testament law, the law of Moses, he's talking about that. But we can also equate that to the law that man makes up for himself, his own system of do's and don'ts. You know, it kind of goes like this. Well, I've never robbed a bank. Here's my don't. Don't rob a bank. I've never killed anybody. Don't kill anybody. Here's another don't. And you know what I do? Every now and then, you know, when I, Christmas time, when I see the little dude outside the Jewel, you know, ringing the bell for the Salvation Army, I give money. My do. What it is that I do that makes me feel good to help me rid myself of my guilt. I make up my own system. I come up with my own do's and don'ts. But the Bible says here, and Paul says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight. That's where it really matters. It's not about what you think of you. It's not even about what I think of you. It's about what God thinks of you. It's whether or not you're going to be declared in right standing with God. And Paul says you can't do it by a law, by the law or any law. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. And he goes on, he says, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Paul looks back at the law of the Old Testament and says, oh, the only thing that the law was good, he says, in another place, he says, but the law causes us to look at that and realize how sinful we are. So he says, that's pretty much it. So we do that in such a way, we come up with our own and we construct our own system, our own religious ideas, our own, you know, our own stuff to just say, well, I'll live up to that. And then the danger of that is when somebody else doesn't live up to your standards, well, you know, we get all self-righteous. But it's not about your do's and don'ts. It's not about the law. It's God who's got to declare somebody righteous. And the only way that he will do that is by faith. The only way that guilt can be removed is by faith. Now, the last thing that we do is we just give in and just enjoy sin.
We try to rid ourselves of guilt by just letting it all go. Letting loose. Let me just go ahead and do what I want to do. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse 8. It says, the way of the guilty is devious. In other words, they invent more ways of being guilty and just simply doing their own thing. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, when he's talking about those who are guilty before God, he's talking about the fact that even those who have never heard the law, they've never heard of anything, he said they are wicked and they're evil and they invent more ways of being evil. They come up with new ways of being evil. So we just kind of give into it. The Bible says this about Moses, that he forsook the pleasures of sin for a season. The Bible indicates that sin is, in fact, pleasurable. So some people say, well, let me just go after it and just do it, and then I won't feel guilty anymore, except for when you're all alone late at night, you lay your head down on the pillow, and there's something that nags you in your head. Why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel so alone? Why do I feel so guilty about my life? What is it that's going on? You're giving yourself to it. You're going after it, but there is still an emptiness that's on the inside. And brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, the only way is to come to Jesus and to come to the cross and say, Lord, I need you. You said, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir today. We're all believers. We love Jesus. Well, I don't know. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. I simply know this. I know that you will never rid yourself of guilt by your man-made ideas and your man-made efforts. And going after sin does not rid you of guilt. It only serves to deepen your sense of guilt. Now, how do we get rid of it? What do we do? And here it is. Jesus brings the only lasting solution to guilt. Jesus brings the only lasting solution to your guilt. It cannot happen any other way. It doesn't happen any other way. Jesus is the one to take care of your guilt. The first thing that he does is this, and you can turn over to Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 20 just to get ready to read this. Jeremiah 50 and verse 20 is he provides forgiveness instead of judgment. Whenever the Bible, I mentioned this earlier, whenever the Bible talks about guilt, and it talks about the guilty and being in that state of guilt before the Lord, it always shows that there is a way out of that guilt. The Bible says this in Jeremiah 50 and verse 20. God is talking about the restoration through the prophet Jeremiah, the restoration that he's going to bring to the remnant of Israel. And the Bible says, in those days, at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for Israel's guilt. You got to like this. But there will be none. You know what? You might think it's impossible for me to live in such a way that I am in a manner that I'm not guilty all the time. But there is. The Bible says here that search will be made for Israel's guilt, but there will be none. And for the sins of Judah, but none will be found. For I will forgive the remnant I spare. Notice this. What is the antidote to guilt? Forgiveness. How many of you have ever had the human end of forgiveness, right? People, you know, you have offended them, you sinned against them, you did something, and they look you in the eyes and they say, I forgive you. This is why I believe it's important. If somebody has offended you or you think they have, or there is an offense that's called to mind, it's not enough for us as believers to just sort of come to that individual and just spew out all of our pain, all of our frustration, all of our anger and offenses to them and to say, just, you know, I got to get it out. I just had to get it out. That was it. As a believer, what we are intended to do, what we're supposed to do, is exactly what God wants us to do. And it is this, that when the individual says, I'm sorry, I didn't want to offend you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, we are to then say the words. Come on, say it.
I forgive you. Say it with me. Let's practice. I forgive you. One more time. I forgive you. See, not hard, right? Say, come on, pastor. You don't know, you know, my wife. It's just so hard for me to say it. You know, I know we men are. You know, I forgive you. You know, we got to kind of. No, no, no. It'll do us good to just learn how to say it. Because the more we can say it, the more we can do it. The more we look at Jesus and what it is that Jesus did for us. And the Bible says here that the guilt will be searched for and it won't be found. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That forgiveness takes care of the guilt. And sometimes, you know, later on you might see the individual that you offended and they forgave you. And they smile at you as though nothing ever happened. That's just like Jesus. That's just what Jesus does for us. He came, he forgave you of all of your sin. He forgave you of everything that you did against him and against his word. And as you come to him, he smiles at you and he looks at you as though you had never done anything. I don't know about you, but that brings about a sense of relief to my heart and to my mind. I know what it is that I did in the past. I know what it is. I can remember. That'll never be wiped out of my memory, but I know what it is. But the Bible lets me know that he doesn't hold any of that junk against me. He no longer looks at me in that state of guilt, but he looks at me in a new position, and that is that he declares us righteous. That is, in right standing with him. The Bible says this in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews chapter 8. Over there, just a few more verses of scripture. We're going to end up in the book of Romans in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. For I will forgive, the Bible says, their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That is not that God doesn't have the ability to remember. It is God chooses not to remember in the sense that he will never hold it against you. He will never hold it against you. I'm sure you've had it happen before that people bring up what it is that you did in the past. Oh, remember what you did 10 years ago? Remember what you did last year? Remember all that stuff? And they throw it up. They bring it up in front of you and you say, yeah, I remember. We kind of hang our head and we talk about it in this kind of somber little voice, you know. We feel so bad. But you know what? God doesn't do that. God doesn't, he doesn't come to Candace and say, Candace, remember what you did 20 years ago? Remember that? No, that's the devil who does that. That's the enemy who will try to do that. God doesn't do that. God says, I'm going to remember them no more. Your sins, he is choosing not to remember, and he's choosing not to hold them against you. I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, we can walk in forgiveness. As believers, we don't have to walk with our heads low. We can walk with our heads held high. Not because we're perfect. There isn't anybody in this room who's perfect. None. But I got to tell you, we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he chooses not to hold your sins against you. That blesses me in my heart, because I realize that the things that I did against him, he says he's going to remember them no more. They're gone. That, brothers and sisters, is having the weight removed from you. But there's something else that he does in helping to provide the solution to guilt, and it is this: he provides his righteousness and declares you to be righteous. Turn over to Romans, book of Romans chapter 5. We're going to end up in the book of Romans. He provides his righteousness and declares you to be righteous. The Bible says this in Romans 5 and verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, that is Adam, the many, that is us, were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, that is Jesus, the many will be made righteous. He provides a righteousness that isn't based on the do's and the don'ts. He provides a holiness that is not based on whether or not you did all the law in the right way. In fact,
Paul says there isn't anybody who can fulfill the whole law. You can't do it, because if you are guilty of one part of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. See, we're individuals who give degrees to different things. Well, at least I don't do that. I might do this, but not that. There is no this or that when it's related to the law of God. We either broke it or we didn't. You're either a lawbreaker or you're not. And the only way not to be a lawbreaker is to be declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ and what it is that he did on the cross. Your standing, your position, where you are today is not under guilt. You are not under the guilt of the law, brothers and sisters. You have now received, through forgiveness and faith in Jesus Christ, a new position, a new place. No longer can the enemy come along and say, hey, I remember what you did last year. I remember what you don't have to listen to any of that nonsense. You can say, I'm forgiven, and I am now declared to be righteous in the sight of God. And in the end, he's the one who's got the final say. Now, how do we handle this on a continual basis? And it is this. He offers encouragement in Scripture to help you walk in forgiveness. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to see some of this encouragement. And then you've got to dig and you've got to find other places in Scripture where you can come to know that you are no longer under the weight of guilt. That you don't have to carry it around in your life. Not just the weight of sin, but the guilt of sin, but also the guilt that often comes and plagues us on a daily basis. You don't have to carry it. Guilt is not from the Lord. Guilt is not something that God wants you to have. You don't need to possess it. You don't need to hold it. You don't need to hang on to it. Why? Well, here's why. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Did you see that? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There isn't anybody today who has to stand and say, I feel condemned in my heart because of what I did. I feel condemned because of what I used to do. No, you don't have to be condemned anymore, because Jesus looked down at the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And after all of her accusers had left, after all they went away, and Jesus is standing there and said, where are those who accuse you? Ah, they're gone, Lord. He says, I don't condemn you either. The one person who could have condemned her, the one person who could have looked down at her and said, you're as guilty as the sin you were involved in. You are so guilty before me right now. I'm the one who's going to pick up a stone and throw it at you. He didn't do that. He forgave her. He didn't condemn her. He says, I'm not going to condemn you today. I'm not going to judge you right now. I am going to set you free from the sin that hauled you into that bed of adultery in the first place. And I want you to be free. I want you to go free. I don't want you to carry the guilt. I don't want you to carry that with you. You've done things wrong in your life. And maybe there are people here in this building right now. You've done things wrong this week. You walked into this building feeling guilty. Maybe you couldn't praise. It hinders praise. Trust me. You walk in feeling guilty, the last thing you want to do is lift your voice and praise the Lord and worship the Lord in the spirit of holiness, because you don't feel holy. You don't feel like you can honor God in that way. But can I tell you that today you can come to him and you can say, Lord, let the freedom happen today in my life. Lord, take the weight of guilt off my shoulders, because there is no condemnation to those who are in him. How are we in him? It's all by faith. It's not by what you do. You can't earn that position of righteousness. Isn't anything that you and I could ever do to earn being righteous before God? Can we bow our heads this morning?